There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I was waiting for the special music, but I've been informed that Michael Heck is on double secret probation for arriving late to the interview today and wasn't able to put his own production flair and touch at the beginning of today's show. And I apologize on his behalf, folks.
And so Michael, peace welcome. And happiness prevailed in the kingdom.
So what's going on, Michael? I understand that you're out there in Avondale.
Yes, I'm out here in beautiful Avondale by the Patrick Taylor High School. Actually, just coming out of a press conference that I think our special guest is going to talk to us about a new food and beverage incubator that Jedco is going to be starting out here. So I don't want to steal Lacey Bordelon's thunder, but a great announcement. Senator Bill Cassidy was out here. A lot of the parish council was out here as well. Senator Patrick Connick. A nice day, and it's just exciting to see what's happening out here at Avondale. I remember when it was just an idea on a board from Big Lou Gunter, and now it's really beginning to fill in. There's going to be new ballparks, new housing. Delgado is out here. It's exciting to see it slowly emerge into view.
Absolutely. A lot of good things happening in that area. Michael, we are, since you and I talked last, we are getting closer and closer to the trifecta of days of Taylor Swift. Where do we stand on some of the improvements around the dome?
Yeah, so we are about 130 days from the actual, from the big event. Taylor Swift, the three nights, we're going to use them as a dry run. We're pretty much done around the dome. There's some patchwork they're still doing on the exterior lanes of Poydras. They are actually, and this is really exciting to me, maybe nobody else, they have begun work on my personal pothole, which is remember we called it the archipelago, which is at the entrance to I-10 at Claiborne to Poydras, and they waited until the Saints were away for 2 weeks to get to work on that, and I don't know. It's kind of bittersweet. You know how sometimes, in the movies, when like the good guy finally kills the villain, and he's kind of sad because he's lost his purpose. I don't know what I'm going to do when that pothole goes away. I'm gonna.
Hey, I promise you, I'll find you another.
Can you? Okay. Did I tell you the other day that
We should have an Hasta La Vista party for DJ El Camino right there at the pothole.
Once in this place, there was a pothole. But the big article that came out in the paper last week, which I actually appreciated, was about Frenchman Street. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that Frenchman Street, to some degree, has become a victim of its own success, which is kind of inevitable and maybe the way places develop. But then, in some other ways, it's just been neglected. There are uses going on there which are not legal. The street is tore up. There's too much congestion. There's illicit activity. And so the question that I was asked is, are we looking at Frenchman Street in that area for the Super Bowl? And the answer is yes. We're going to be doing some roadwork repairs. From Decatur down to Washington Square. The city just started last week, a rideshare pilot program where at this point, Uber and Lyft are going to drop people off outside of Frenchman Street. And then you're going to have to walk in. So you're going to walk in from Elysian Fields instead of that kind of lineup that happens outside the Spotted Cat in DBA.
Right.
And then we're working on some specific things, particularly that one building, which has been kind of left there, being propped up by a bunch of 2x4s. We have to figure out how we can at least beautify that and make it kind of less of an eyesore. for the game. So, yeah, we've been walking Frenchman Street, and it is part of the plan because from our perspective, it effectively is part of the French Quarter tourist experience.
Michael, I think I told this story several months ago. We were there on a Monday night, went to listen to Trumpet Mafia play. Mm-hmm. And it was, we walked out of there. The street was packed. It was a Monday night. I mean, it felt like Mardi Gras. And it was really refreshing. I mean, it was just everybody was having a good time, interacting. You know, we bumped into some folks and we're just talking and this and that. And you know, and I was just looking around. I said, man, this. And same observation, we're not paying a lot of attention to it, and we need to, because it's another little pocket that's really kind of very important to the culture of the city and what we have to offer with live music. There's a collection of you know, places there, Snug Harbor, Spotted Cat, and the like. Used to go to Snug Harbor at least once a week when I was single. I loved that place. Listen to Wanda Ruzan, and I mean the list just goes on and on and on. I think you're right. I think we're kind of missed the target over there, and it'd be nice to hone in on it and get it cleaned up.
Just pull it back a little bit. I mean, it just needs a little bit of TLC, and I think at its best, Frenchman Street, at least to me, represents kind of what the French Quarter should be. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's celebratory. It's got a little edge to it, but there's a quality there to the music, to the restaurants, to the bars. It's not tawdry. It's not dangerous. It's a place you can go and experience, the world-class musicians and other cultures of the world. I mean, look, Snug Harbor, I put that up against any jazz club in the world for the quality of the acts they have in there, and even just the acoustics. I mean, you can sit there and have a drink, and it's, there's no bad seat in the house. So, yeah, so it's personal to me as well. We're going to, we're going to clean up Frenchman Street along with everything else that's beginning to happen in the French Quarter in general.
So the rideshare idea, I think, is a great idea. And I also think it's a great idea to think about that in other places in the city where there's a destination where you go for pick up and drop off. Right. And you restrict it to that area. You remove some of that traffic off, and it actually opens up different areas for other development in that area as well.
It does. We're going to be doing it for the Super Bowl. We're going to have park and ride areas in places like Metairie, the West Bank, New Orleans East. So people don't have to drive in. They'll be able to park and take public transport in. But in general, Newell, you're right. Taking cars off the road increases pedestrian traffic. It increases sales. It's a healthier environment. And it's kind of goes through these typical phases that when you propose, people push back and say, you can't do that. You're going to shut down commerce, shut down deliveries. But the best example I have of this is, as you know, my wife is Danish, and the main shopping thoroughfare in Copenhagen is a street called Strøet. And when the mayor in the 70s proposed to pedestrianize it, he literally had death threats made against him. And, like, that's not a very Danish thing. Like, they usually keep it in the pocket. Like, you know, they'll kill you by putting you on an iceberg and pushing you out to sea while you're sleeping. But, like, they won't act, you know. But now Strøet is the longest and most popular, most successful shopping street in all of Europe. And so these ideas about doing things to allow people on foot to enjoy an area without having to be congested or worry about safety because of vehicles is something we should think about, I think, in our high-density tourist areas, the French Quarter and Frenchman Street, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The other day, the governor announces a sweeping overhaul of Louisiana tax system. A lot of the details yet to be provided. Your thoughts?
What you have to say about this governor, regardless of what you feel about what he is doing, he ain't scared. He is going forward and taking these issues by the throat and is being bold. And I think what the governor, you know, is saying is, look, y'all, Louisiana has been falling behind, while the rest of the South over the past 10 years gained 3.5 million in population, and we lost 40,000. If you look at Texas and Louisiana in terms of, you know, the things that matter, Newell, economic output, population, unfortunately, you have a South Korea-North Korea comparison. You can see it from space. And I think what he said is that although the politically safe thing to do is to try to incrementally get better, and look, we've been pushing that at GNO Inc. I mean, we pushed to get the top income tax rate down from 6 to 4.25. I think he's saying it's not enough. We have to throw over the table. We have to shoot the moon. We have to throw the head, whatever it is, because the future of the state depends on it. Well, that's effectively what he is proposing here. Some parts about it, just to kind of talk about the highlights. It would take the personal income tax rate, which currently is at 6.25, and that would collapse into a flat tax at 3%. It would take the corporate tax rate, which is currently tops out at 7.5, and collapse that into a flat rate of 3.5. And then the pay for this is, first and foremost, that extra 0.45 of sales tax is going to stay on. I always thought it would stay on because it's just the easiest thing to do. I can't see it any other way. But the breaks for things like groceries and medicine would still remain. They would still remain untaxed. But then there are going to be a lot of tax breaks that are eliminated as well, from stuff that are basic, like quality jobs, to stuff that is more specific, like entertainment incentives. And that's going to be a big discussion. So it's a bold plan. Also, sales tax will be broadened, I'm sorry, to include some things that are not currently taxed, like lobbying and, I don't know, dog care. There's some very strange things that are currently not subject to sales tax. So it's a bold plan. It's going to be very it's going to stir a lot of emotion, I think, on both sides. But I give the governor credit for, you know, recognizing the magnitude of the challenge. 100 years of flawed policy piled on top of each other, and he's saying we're going to rip the Band-Aid off. A lot of mixed metaphors here, Noel, but
I guess one of my concerns is when we look at other states that have gone down this avenue, and this is out of ignorance, I don't know the answer. Did they choose the sales tax route to increase sales taxes, increase the transactions, certain transactions that are going to be taxable, to make up the difference to get to a lower tax rate? My gut tells me I don't believe that that's in fact the case, because we have one of the highest sales tax rates right now before any of this is modified in the country. And transferring that burden in that fashion in order to get to a 3% flat tax rate seems a little onerous to me. And it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic between state and local sales taxes. So, for example, some localities actually tax prescriptions. The state's right. going to step in and not allow them to do that. Well, what's going to be interesting about that is how are they going to empower local government to make up that difference in those localities? And with the additional services to be taxed, will local government be able to tax those additional services, or will they be carved out to just the state? So, for example, the state collects a sales tax on telecommunications. Local government is not allowed to do so. So it's going to be interesting, this tug of war, as it relates to that. I was thinking that they were going to go more down the elimination of sales tax exemptions as opposed to what I heard the other day. And it may be the case that they are going to do that. I don't know. But they didn't talk about that a lot. And there are a lot of those details that need to be flushed out.
Yeah, so let me. You're actually bringing up a really, really important point. So one is that, yeah, they're going to be eliminating some exemptions like landscaping and car washing and dog grooming. So in that sense, they're going to broaden the sales tax base, which is considered good policy, right? And a lot of states have done that. But the critical difference between us and Texas, and you're right about this, is the way Texas achieves actually zero personal income tax is that they have double the property tax that we have in Louisiana, right? So that's how they do it, because the per capita tax rate in Texas versus Louisiana is very similar, within about a few hundred bucks. But what they said is we're going to have high property taxes, which frankly are better taxes because they go to schools, they go to public safety, they go to roads, they're locally controlled. Now in Louisiana, where we are very used to having relatively low property taxes and have a homestead exemption, it's considered a political third rail to try to go after that, because effectively we would be asking the parishes, the parish presidents and councils, to explain to their constituents why they're going to have to double their property tax, and good luck with that. So the route that this is going is, one, we're not going to be able to get to zero, first of all. But second, we're going to do it through, you know, relying more on sales tax, as you said, than almost any other state in the country, which would be considered totally regressive, except for the fact that we do have the exemptions for food and medicine and so forth, and gasoline. So, yeah, it is. It's not the way you would necessarily draw this up if you were creating the 51st state in the country, right? The Kingdom of Newell. But this is a big change, nonetheless.
Do you know, Michael? I mean, I know that the income tax phases out at a number. It's $100,000+ of income. I don't remember what that number is. Have they talked about whether that number goes up or stays the same or what?
I don't know the answer to that one, Newell. I got to find that out, but I'll find out and let you know, let people know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.